Brother Reyes asked me to preach on Christian education. It's a very broad subject, actually. And I'm not used to being handed a topic to preach, but I know that Brother Reyes can talk about church issues and doctrines. And certainly we'll leave all that to him. And that would be in able hands. But he's asked me to preach on Christian education. And I don't think he's talking about becoming a PhD, even though we have one here tonight, and maybe more, but I think he's actually asking me to talk about secondary Christian education, talking about kindergarten through 12th grade, and so that's what I want to limit my thoughts to, and because that's what I'm representing tonight is Rio Grande Christian Academy, and so, and the Lord, but our school was started in 1978-79 school year, and Pastor Reyes's mom and Mrs. Covington were the original teachers there. I heard Ms. Sorcia Key say, and by the way, I want to say thank you, Ms. Key and Deanna, for all the work and David that you put into these kids. We're taking all these kids, 1,800 miles round trip, hopefully the round trip part, but we're taking them, and we're going to take them to, last time we took them to Niagara Falls while we were there. And I told him that's a trip of a lifetime. That's the only time I've ever been there. But we're going to take them by the Ark on the way back. And I was just telling Pastor Reyes that these kids are my friends. They're really and truly. I love them. I love them all. And we'll certainly miss some of them. We'll miss all of them. But some of them are not going to be with us next year. So I thought we'll miss them all. But I think that Christian education works. And I'm going to tell you why, is because you can actually see how it works with Brother Sherrick and Miss Flax and the Covington family and the Reyes family. The proof of the pie, I'm a hillbilly, so the proof of the pie is in the filling. And you can actually see that Christian education works, and you ought to certainly be involved and have your kids be involved in Christian education because obviously there's something to it. Amen? Amen. So I think during these formative years, from 5 years old to 20 or 18, whatever, that there's foundations laid and roots or something is ingrained in a student. I heard a story this morning. I don't know if I can tell it exactly, but there was a young man who went to the Army, and to make a long story short, they made it mandatory that he go to chapel. And the second week, he didn't want to go to chapel because the chaplain was not preaching right. And even though it was voluntary, the chaplain came and said, "Hey, why weren't you in chapel?" And he said, "Because you wasn't preaching right." He was in the Army. And so the chaplain, they kind of got into the argument. And the chaplain, from what I get this story, was offended by this young man and took it as a challenge. And so after it got heated, the chaplain said, "Well, why don't you preach next Sunday?" The young man said, "Okay." He went to a Christian school, and he had actually gotten away from the Lord, but am I telling this right, Keith? Am I doing okay? So the next Sunday, the chaplain made it mandatory that all the recruits go to chapel, made it mandatory, which he maybe could not have done, but there was 500 to 800 people. Did I get that right? 500 to 600, 700, 800 people there, and the young man got up to preach, and he preached. He preached salvation by repentance. I mean, he preached it that you could be saved and born again. And when there was over 100 people came, he gave an invitation. And the chaplain was hoping that he would fail and that he could kind of get on to this young man publicly for challenging his authority. And the invitation went on for a half hour. And one of the young recruits got up and played the piano, "Just As I Am." And over 100 recruits got saved. And the invitation went so long that they had schedules, as they do in the military, and so the chaplain could not rebuke him publicly. And he went to an ACE school. I think that was very interesting. I heard this story this morning. I thought I'd try to get that in. But you see, there are certain foundational truths. Some people call it brainwashing. I'm okay with that. The Bible says that we ought to cleanse ourselves by the washing of the water and regeneration of the Word of God. Amen. Hope I quoted that right. Some people say, I was a drug baby. My parents drug me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You see, those that are involved in church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I told the people this morning in my church, it takes three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If you're not thriving, it might be because you've missed the pattern. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I believe that those who become Christian leaders are those, not all. But God, that certainly seemed like a deeper pool to swim in if God is looking for a leader, those who have been raised in Christian education and known the things of God from a child, like Timothy did. Well, I want to give you our verse, if you'll turn the Bible to Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter number 22 tonight. I'm going to give you one verse, and this is our mission statement at our church. We've gone through accreditation process twice, and thanks to Mrs. Key's help, we are fully accredited nationally and internationally at Rio Grande Christian Academy through the year 2021, and not very many schools can make that claim with that particular accreditation board. But the Bible says, by the way, I was going to tell you, the accrediting board said, well, we would like for you to change your vision statement. And I thought, well, you know, we'll check into it. And I legitimately did. But Sister Lorraine and Mrs. Reyes, we kept their vision statement. And the Bible tells us we find their vision statement, our mission statement, Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this church, this pastor and his family. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to encourage one another. Lord, there's plenty of lost people out there, and we are rooting for New Heights Baptist Church, Bella Vista. We're rooting for Gospel Light, Mesa Baptist. Lord, we're rooting for people that might not even agree with us on some things, Lord. As long as they agree with us on salvation, we're rooting for them. I pray, dear God, that you'd meet with us tonight, and Lord, may I in this next few moments instill something in parents, Lord, that would cause them to have a desire to keep their kids or to start putting their kids in Christian education. And God, I'll give you all the glory. And again, bless this church and help me, Lord, as I consider it a privilege to stand here and speak. Pray, God, that you would bless your word and get all the glory. In Christ's name I pray, amen. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I tell you, I've been preaching now since 1977, and I hear a lot of people who they try to interpret this verse differently. Here's what they try to say. You know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Though he may depart from it for a while, he'll come back. That's not what it says. Amen? It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so sometimes I think that people take that as, well, I just got to try a little bit. No. You got to make it a lifelong thing. It's got to be. I believe that Christian education ought to be a commitment that you make from kindergarten through college. Yeah. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I'm going to give you three thoughts this evening. Number one, I think that we ought to train him up in the ways of righteousness. Certainly, that's what that verse means. That we ought to train them up in the ways of righteousness. Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 42, it says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Brother S. talked about someone was homeschooled, and I enjoyed the cello. Who did that again? I enjoyed that, sweetheart. I thought that was awesome. I believe in Christian education, Christian schools, but I also want to encourage and applaud and cheer on homeschooling. If you train your children up in the way that they should go, my kids went to a Christian school, and then we had the privilege for the last several years of their education to homeschool them. I became a principal of a Christian school, and one of the deacon's kids, and I'm not saying anything negative about deacons, but it just so happened to be that I love deacons. I believe it's a biblical office, and you hear some stories about deacons' kids. I hear stories about preachers' kids, too. But this was a deacon's kid. And the second time I caught him smoking, I expelled him. And the pastor of the church that had the school said, you can't do that. I said, fine. I quit. And he said, you can't do that either. I said, if you'll just go right over and hide and watch me. And so that day that I was told that I couldn't expel a kid from smoking in a Christian school, that the next day we homeschooled our kids, and that was a blessing. Turned out to be a blessing. But we ought to train them in the ways of righteousness. The Bible says, in the temple or in the church, I believe that all of our schools originally in our country began in the church, and the Bible was their textbook, and they memorized Scripture, and they did that which was right. Amen? I think we ought to train them in the ways of righteousness. I think we ought to train them in the ways of righteousness. We ought to teach them creation. By the way, that's one of my big things. One of my big things is creation. I believe that evolution is evolution. I believe that we ought to teach our kids biblical authority, that the Word of God is true, that God did create man. He did fall, and there was a flood. Babel really happened. By the way, that's going to be our theme of our vacation Bible school this year, the Tower of Babel. And I'm telling you, there's so many things about the Tower of Babel that's very important that we just kind of look over and, listen, I'm telling you, the Tower of Babel is very important. And we need to teach about Abraham. I'm going to show you something real quickly here this morning, this evening. I spent 6 years of my life studying on and reading everything that I could, every book that I could, and I went to seminars and did all kinds of things about creation. And you know that if you could see my Bible here, if you can get it to on the edge here, if you could see my Bible here, these pages right here contain 2,000 years of human history. And what we're talking about from the creation of man until the end of the Tower of Babel. This is Genesis chapter 1 through 11. This covers 2,000 years of human history. This talks about creation and how man began and how languages started. And by the way, I don't think there's such a thing as racism. Amen? I'm convinced. I think I'm okay. I didn't get permission to talk about this. But you know what? We are all part of the human race. Some are whiter and lighter. And some are darker and some are pinker. Pinker? I like that word. Amen. But we're all part of the human race. And this racism thing is from the devil to try to pit us against one another. And that's another one of my hobby horses, amen? And so if you buy into that, shame on you. Shame on you. Amen? But anyhow, I'll get back to what I was supposed to do. These pages right here that I hold between my fingers covers a period of 2,000 years of human history. This is called creation. The rest of these pages I hold in my hand or getting ready to hold in my hand, these pages cover 2,000 years of human history. And I'd been studying for 6 years about everything I could about creation. And I'm not saying I know it all, but if you want to talk, we'll talk. But an old preacher man came and said, "I hear that you've been studying a lot on creation." I said, "Yes, I have." He said, "I'm going to tell you something. I agree with what you're doing." But he said, he showed me what I just showed you. And he said, "Those pages cover 2,000 years of human history. And they talk about creation. And these pages right here, talk about redemption. And it seems like God gives more credibility to redemption and more attention to redemption than he did to creation." And that ended my six-year quest about all that I thought I was going to be able to know and teach and flaunt on people. Can I tell you that God's more concerned in the salvation of souls than he was in the creation of man, even though it's true. Even though it's true. As we think about these things, we ought to teach them the ways of righteousness. Number two, we ought to teach them the ways of academia, academics. You know, if you don't know this, New Mexico, the state of New Mexico is number 50 out of 50. For the last 5 years, it's been between 48 and 49 and 50. This year, New Mexico Public Schools are 50th in the nation. New Mexico Public Schools are the worst in America. The other two that we compete with is Alabama and Arkansas, and those are true statistics. I was in Espanola last week, and Espanola Public Schools, they have 300 seniors, but only 75 of them are going to graduate. So I don't know what the success rate of Espanola public schools are, but 75 out of 300 seem like it would be a D or an F. And I told the people up there in Espanola, I said, "You know what? You can have a good Christian school here. If I can figure things right, we're the New Mexico is the worst of all the states, and Espanola is the worst of the worst. And so you can shine here. There's a good opportunity to have a Christian school place. I mean, a good education and teach these kids the ways of God." Amen. Well, I think they might do it. You know, they can't figure math. Public schools nowadays can't even figure out which bathroom the boys and girls are supposed to go into. No wonder they're failing. As far as academics, I think we ought to teach them to read. I hope our kids like what I'm about to say. The motto, not the vision of our school, is readers are leaders and leaders are readers. I heard a story a long time ago that you can't control educated people, that uneducated people are easier to govern. And if you could teach somebody to read, you can't keep them uneducated. And I'm telling you, that's a big thing. And one of our main thrusts at our school is teaching kids to read and teach them how to. And by the way, readers are leaders, and leaders are readers. And so, just would you say that with me? Readers are leaders, and leaders are readers. The dumbing down of America. I mean, kids. The kids don't know things today. There are exceptions. I went to some public schools. I went to Santa Fe High School twice. I've been up there 2 weeks. Two different times. And they have AP classes, which is advanced placement classes. And you know what the kids that did not go to advanced placement classes said? The teachers, there's only like 10% of the AP students, and they said, the school doesn't care for the rest of us. All the good teachers are in the AP classes, and everybody else just treats us like we're a study hall. And they expect us to be bad. And so they don't care, we don't care. We're not going to change until they change. But I'm not saying everybody who goes to public school is an idiot, because that's not true. But it's statistically very much swayed in the Christian education realm. Number two, I think that we ought to teach them academics. I think we ought to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic. I think we ought to teach them. Our kids are now doing up to 144 in English and science and social studies. And Brother Chris is talking about Jasmine's coming. She's going to be taking trigonometry. And Miss Key has done a good job taking trigonometry when she was out a couple of years ago for an extended period of time. I even taught some trigonometry. Mustachio, cha-ching. Number three, I think that we ought to teach them. This may be new to you, but I think that we ought to teach them the ways of their individual interests. Again, I think that we ought to teach them in the ways of their individual interests. Not just righteousness, and I'm for that. Not just academics, and I'm for that. But the Bible says that we ought to bring them up in the ways of God, and we ought to bring them up in the way that they should go. And when they're old, they'll not depart from. You know, some people are artsy. Some people, by the way, moms and dads, I think that you can see if a kid has a talent in art when they begin to color, when they begin to do watercolors or finger painting. And then you can give them a pencil. And by the way, I think it was two Wednesday nights ago, Avea Lopez came and drew a picture of me in on Wednesday night. And I thought to myself, I mean, I was even skinnier than, I thought she has talent. I mean, exceptional. But she did notice my receding hairline. So I thought, well, she does have an eye. But you know, you can tell if kids are artsy. You can tell that. And I think that, moms and dads, that you ought to encourage that. Amen? You can tell if people are musical. I mean, like the oboe. I mean, the cello. I think that you can see that. Amen? I mean, where did that begin? And where did that come from? Where did violin, piano, saxophone, trumpet, singing? Where did that come from? Those are talents that God has instilled in people. Amen? And that we ought to capitalize on those. I think there's such a thing as raising a kid, teaching mechanics. When I was 6 years old, the telephone man came and he repaired our dial-up telephone. I mean, and after he left, I took a butter knife, and I took the telephone apart. I was 6 years old. When my dad got home from work, he was getting ready to whip me, which was kind of usual. And my mom said, hold a minute. Do you know how to put that thing back together? My dad said, no. She said, maybe he knows how to put it back together. And my dad said, if you put that thing back together the way it works, I won't whip you. I knew right then I was mechanical. It worked. And my dad actually picked up on that, and I became a refrigeration mechanic. I've got cards and certifications in my pocket right now. And when I was in the ninth grade, I knew that I wanted to be a refrigeration mechanic. And Brother Reyes, if you have any problems with your air conditioning, I'll help you with it. I even tell people at restaurants, mom and pops, hey, call me. Amen. I'll fix it for free. Lunch. But you know, there are certain people, you can tell that they're performers. Acting, stage, maybe sound and lighting, production, and also academia. You can tell if... some people have a knack for book learning. Does that sound all right? See, you can tell. You know, you can tell some kid's going to be a doctor or a lawyer or a psychologist or a teacher. Some kids have that. High tech, science and research. Do you know that there are actually specific schools that deal with these different disciplines? And you can read up on that. Moms and dads, just don't bring your kid to my school or any other school and drop them off and say, go for it. No. As Brother Reyes said, it's the parents' responsibility to train them up in the way that they should go. I do believe it includes their interests. We do have regionals at our school. We have even junior regionals, and you don't have to come to an ACE school, or you can even go to a public school if you're 12 and under. And you can come to, we have a New Mexico Junior Convention. Our kids compete in 64 different events, and so maybe you want to come and be part of that. But also, for the big regionals that the kids are, you saw some of their performances tonight, you have to be in an ACE school to go to the international part. But they can compete in 147 categories. They can pick 12 out of those events. And so that's one of the ways of our Christian school that I see that we're training them up in the way that they should go. They can pick and choose. And they can pick something one year and go, woo, not doing that again. And rightfully so. Amen. But they may stumble on something they say, hey. And that's why we have the regional competition, and so they can discover their interests. Well, I've been asked to preach on Christian education, and I'm trying to be very very thoughtful. He wants to do the group Bible speaking again. Christian education, I'm sold on it. I think that we ought to follow the biblical mandate of raising our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I think that we ought to offer them a well-rounded Christian education. I do think that we ought to train them up in the ways of God. I think that we ought to train them up in the ways of academics, and also I think that we ought to train them up in the ways of their personal interests. And I do believe that if we'll do that, that we can claim the promise when they are old, they will not depart from it.